a special Oregon vacation episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, we went to Oregon recently. It was a vacation. As you can imagine, since I was there, it was full of craft beer debauchery. Not so much debauchery, really, but just craft beer enjoyment in general, I would say.
We also visited my sister.
Oh, yes. Emily Bowling and her partner, Allie Dean. Thank you very much for the hospitality out that way. It was awesome. And showing us probably some of the best places to get beer out that way.
Yep.
We were in the Portland area, and then we were in the Corvallis area, and we were all over the place, really. Oh, and very fittingly, Rebecca is currently wearing a Benny the Beaver shirt for the Oregon State, which is where Emily works. So, go Beavs, you know. So, we have three beers, as we typically do. We can't have any episodes without beers, honestly. No. Gotta have the beer. So we have three beers that we're gonna end up trying. Yeah, Rebecca's reaching for the first.
I'm going. I need to start.
She's like, I just want to drink the beers. To which I said, you well, you gotta do a little work first.
It's like, you have to work for them.
You have to work for it. It's so much better. You can enjoy it so much more after you've done something for the beer. Don't pour way too much, because who knows how fast we'll move. So the first beer that is being poured was by a brewery that we checked out. This was Crux Fermentation Project. And Crux is out of Bend, Oregon. And that was on the same day that we went to another brewery. And that one will also be talked about in conjunction with the Crux, because it was the same trip. It was a day trip ordeal. So when we got to Crux, we had kind of the red carpet laid out for us, which was really nice and really cool. We were able to try some beers on the house, which was very nice of Crux, and we were able to tour the facility, and I mean the whole facility, which is not big. You know, they're
small.
Yeah, they're a small operation, but I'll be damned if they're not making some really nice beers.
Yeah, everything we had was really, really good by them. Did we have their... Is the Tough Love that I love so much?
Yes.
We had that on the show?
I did a Brutal Battle beer break for it, so it's on YouTube. If you look for Brutal Battle beer break on YouTube, hopefully by this time it should be up.
That might be my biggest regret from the trip, is not bringing one of those back.
Yeah, because we only had that one. It was 2 years extra age on it, and that's a Imperial Stout bourbon barrel aged.
So good.
Which, their bourbon barrel aging, you know, they do what they can, but since they're such a small operation, they really can't do a ton, because they're limited on space, and you have to obviously store those barrels somewhere.
Yeah.
Which we saw when we were there. They had barrels
everywhere.
Yeah, they had barrels kind of like shoved wherever they could put them, honestly. But what were some of the really great beers that we enjoyed? For me, one that I really took away was one of the best beers the whole trip, in my opinion, was their Off Leash.
Yes.
Which was a session IPA. Now, typically you say session IPA and people are like, some people are very much not happy about that style. They're like, oh, that's BS. It's just like a weak IPA, whatever. And a lot of times, you know, you get them and they're kind of low flavor, they're low alcohol, they're low body, whatever. This was easily a straight up IPA, but I know, you know, it has to do with alcohol content, and the alcohol content was low enough to be a session IPA, so in that sense it was, but as far as like extra flavor, body, it's what you would typically think of as a straight up IPA. So it was delicious. It was so flavorful. The other one that really stood out to me was their Impasse. Their Impasse was a farmhouse ale, and it was gorgeously done.
I think that was my favorite.
The Impasse.
I just tried to look up on my Untappd what I liked. I didn't check into any of those.
Well, I guess you got to check into them now. Although, is that cheating?
I don't know.
That's
cheating.
It's kind of cheating. But I do have to give some thanks real quick to Brandon at Crux. He was one of the brewers. He took us around, gave us the tour. Also wanted to give a shout out to Jake, who was very helpful. He was a server for us, got us some great beers. Had a lot of awesome, you know, chats with Jake, mm-hmm. and he pointed us in the direction of some good stuff, like their Freak Cake. Oud Brune, which typically I'm not down with Oud Brunes because they're super, super sour, very vinegary.
This one wasn't.
Yeah, it was kind of like a different take on the Oud Brune style. It was a little dialed back. It was a little funky because they used some Brett in it. So it's a little more funky, a little slight tartness to it.
And the food was so good there, too.
Oh,
they had a really, really good menu. Yeah. Really enjoyed their food.
Yeah. Also, thank you to Drayson, who helped set up the whole ordeal, and Paul, who's one of the founders of Crux, who also helped set things up for us. So really appreciate that, all you guys. And while we were there, it was just really cool to, like, walk around, drink some beer, look at all the equipment, and have Brandon talk to us and tell us his operation. And a lot of their equipment
they received from Japan.
Yes, they did. In fact, he was telling us about that, how they had got acquired it from Japan. And we then took a look at it, and a lot of the labels have Japanese writing. So I was like, cool. I wonder how you figure out what you're doing with this.
Yeah.
I'm sure they just knew anyway. But it was also fun because Brandon had us try some of the malt that they use. So we were, you know, eating some of the malt, which I had never done before. And I was kind of like, huh, why have I never done this?
Yeah.
Tastes great.
And what was your favorite part?
The hop freezer. Well, hop fridge. Yeah. Not really a freezer because they're not keeping them frozen. But to keep hops fresh to extend their life, the lupulin life, they put them in the fridge to keep the temperature low so it doesn't turn. Because usually you can see it. And he had us, like, actually take some hops in our hands and, roll them around. And we did that with Citra and Galaxy hops, which, like, oh my gosh, some of the best hops.
Yeah, and your hands were, like, a little sticky, but they just smelled so good.
Well, my hands were very sticky because I rolled a lot of hops. And, oh my gosh, the smell was unbelievable. Yeah. I believe I said to Brandon, I'm like, you guys next need to figure out how to bottle this and make it like a cologne or a perfume or something.
Taking it too far.
I want to smell that all day.
I would say maybe like an air freshener.
Okay. Air freshener.
Maybe.
I could.
But not a cologne.
One for my car, maybe. I could do that.
Yeah.
Smell like nice, flavorful hops when I'm driving to and from work. I could handle that. That'd be a great de-stressor, I would think. So, yeah, so it was just a lot of fun at Crux. Great beer, great food, great company. Everyone had really cool stuff to say. They're a small operation, like I said, but they're making really good beers. And it sounds like they will be growing at some point, I'm sure, but it'll be kind of like a slow type thing. If you have any way, any listeners out there, to get any Crux stuff, if you have someone you trade with, if you have family out that way, any way you can try and figure it out. There's some really good stuff. Tough Love, Rebecca would say, is probably the best.
Tough Love.
If you can get a hold of it. Once again, they're Imperial Stout, Bourbon Barrel Aged. So we're going to try a beer from Crux right now. And what is that?
It's called Half Hitch. It's an Imperial Mosaic IPA.
Nice. I like Mosaic Hop. A lot of people do at this point.
9.5%.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
And
this may end up being our highest alcohol beer of the night.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, let's take a look at it. It's very, like, a yellowish orange to it. Mm-hmm.
It's a little cloudy.
Yeah, tad bit of cloudiness to it.
Smell those hops.
Man, it smells Mosaic. Like, so much Mosaic in there. There's some pineapple aspect. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a mango-y. Ooh, citrus, like, orange snap in there. A little bit of a caramelly undertone from the malt aspect.
Yeah, I don't...
It's very tropical, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. A little peach. I'm actually getting a little peach on the nose, too.
I could see that.
The more I keep sniffing it. This smells outstanding.
It does smell really... I'm like, I just want to get to drinking.
I know, and if it tastes the way it smells, this is going to be great.
And it does. I like this.
Oh, wow.
I didn't pour enough in my glass.
And here's the thing. Knowing it's like 9%, the body is a little more delicate than I figured it would be. I was looking for a little more syrupiness. Not like I wanted it, but I assumed it would be there.
Right.
And it's actually pretty refreshing that it's not as syrupy as you would assume.
It's not, but there is a little bit of a syrupy quality.
Yeah, it's slight, but I was thinking at 9%, it would be a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that peachy aspect on there.
Yeah, it's good. I like this.
I think we're getting everything in the flavor that we were getting on the nose. The bitterness is there, but it's not crazy. It's pretty in check. There's almost a little bit of kind of an effervescent after effect on the tongue after each sip.
Yeah, it tastes exactly how it smells. Like, all the tropical notes, the hop characteristics.
This is a refreshing and tasty beer.
Solid.
I would expect nothing less from these fine folks.
Yeah. Mm. So, oh, yeah,
my,
what...
I didn't actually bring water to rinse.
Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do?
No, we'll be fine. We'll make it work.
Yeah, so we drove to Bend. It was a beautiful... I thought it was a beautiful drive. I understand.
That was nice. Mountains.
Yeah. I couldn't understand. Like, it was like a three-hour drive.
Yeah, I think it was two and a half.
Two and a half, three-hour drive. And, like, being from the East Coast, where, I mean, I feel like we're kind of used to making a drive like that, not spending the night and driving home. But my sister was like, are you sure you don't want to spend the night? That'll be a long day. It's a lot of driving. And we both kind of thought, no, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. But then after, like, riding in the car, it is a very, it's not highway driving. It's literally, like, up and down through the mountains. So I could understand why people don't want to maybe do that drive all in one day.
Well, it really is like a roller coaster, yeah, in my opinion. Like, it was very roller coaster-esque.
It was beautiful. Like, we saw, we were able to see, like, the, it was the Cascade Mountains, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Something like that. Mountains. Some mountains. There are plenty of mountains in Oregon.
We saw the mountain Black Butte.
Black Butte, yes. Black
Which Butte is... Mountain.
Which Deschutes has
the beer.
A beer, yeah, named Black Butte Porter, I believe.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And while we were there, after we were there at Crux and had an awesome time, we then went to Boneyard Beer Company, which Boneyard is also in Bend, and they're a even smaller operation than Crux. And I had coordinated, well, I coordinated with Crux, obviously, because... you could tell from all the people I was thanking, but we also coordinate with Boneyard, and thank you very much to Liz at Boneyard for coordinating our stop in there with some beer and seeing a little bit. Also, Sarah and Joel, who were working in the tasting room when we got to Boneyard, thank you very much, Sarah and Joel. You guys were super cool to talk to, very accommodating. We showed up, and it's basically like an old auto shop. Is what the building was, mm-hmm, that they just turned into a brewery.
Small tasting room. Yes. Standing room small. Only.
Yeah, basically.
Their taster glasses were cool, though.
Yeah, they were like real long, small taster glasses. And we tried, I think, four or five of their beers, maybe uh-huh, five. And I think my favorites, I thought their RPM IPA was a nice, solid IPA. Their White Knuckle White IPA, yeah, was really friggin' good. Like, I've had white IPAs before, and to me, that was the best white IPA I've ever had. And I think that one was a collaboration that they did with some other breweries, and they said, I forget who it was, but they said one of the other breweries is owned by the son of Jimmy Page, like Led Zeppelin Jimmy Page. So I was like, oh, that's interesting.
What? You have a better memory than I do. What was... the last beer that we had there?
It may have been the White Knuckle.
Okay.
I think it was the White Knuckle.
Because they couldn't do growler fills on it.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that was, yeah, my favorite then.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. Yeah, I remember that we both thought that was the best.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I really, really like this. It's unreal. No growler fills.
Yeah, no growler fills. So, just what we could try there. And we got to see a little bit of the brewery.
Yeah.
And it was... I mean, it's packed in there. Like, their brewing area is just, like, tons and tons of tanks. And they name all their tanks and, you know, human names. And they have, you know, little placards saying what their names are, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah. I forget some of their names, though.
Wang was one of them.
They were just funny names.
Yeah. There was, but they explained why it's called Boneyard.
Yeah.
It's Boneyard because basically they got a bunch of scraps of brewing equipment and just kind of cobbled it together. And so it's like they salvaged it from the Boneyard, you know, so they called it Boneyard Beer Company. And the other cool thing about them is, well, cool and not cool for beer drinkers who want to try their stuff. They said no interest in expanding. Where they are right now, small service, That's where they want to be. They're totally happy doing it. They have no interest in growing and distributing further, which, you know, makes me sad because I would want to see their stuff here eventually. But at the same time, I think about it and I'm like, if I were a brewer, that would be my attitude. I would be like, I'm going to do it small and that's what I want to do. So whatever. I just feel like every brewery gets the pressure to keep expanding, which from the sounds of it, Crux was planning on expanding, which excites me. And then we immediately went to Boneyard and Boneyard's like, absolutely not doing it. So it was fun to have the two different sides of the coin there.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about Boneyard is their graphics.
Yeah. You know,
they're all like the skull, crossbones, skeleton.
They're very much kind of like a mix of punk, heavy metal, and rockabilly. Like, it's the fusion of all of those kind of music styles into their logos and all their designs and their beer, too. But they also have a pretty close relationship with Three Floyds, which was interesting because I thought their logos were kind of Three Floyds-esque, like, in the way they did them. And I had asked, and I was like, are you guys close with Three Floyds or anything? And she was like, oh, yeah. Sarah, she was like, oh, yeah. And she pointed out to me something I totally missed in front of my face, which was a big, like, Three Floyds poster.
Yeah.
So she was like, we're real close with Three Floyds. I was like, oh, okay, well, now it makes sense. Like,
well, it's funny, when you asked that, I was like, didn't you see that right
in front of
you?
No, I didn't.
It's kind of funny.
That happens all the time at the house. Things in front of my face, just, I can't see them.
Men. Like, I don't know. There's something with their brain.
It's a thing. So.
So that was pretty much all in Bend.
Yeah, that was all Bend. So thank you so much, Crux and Boneyard. Super, super cool. And we, on another day, we actually went to Eugene, Oregon. And not going to talk about it now, but we did a very large tour of a very cool brewery there. And since we had such a good time and we brought some of their beers back, we figured we were going to go ahead and do a brewery showcase episode for that brewery. Coming up.
So we're not going to name it?
Nope. Not going to talk about it. It's, I don't know. Actually, do you think we should?
I think we should.
Okay. We'll give you the teaser. We'll tell you who it's going to be. But you won't know what beers and you won't know what we're going to say. And what happened on the tour, because it was amazing. Ninkasi. And you're going to want to stay tuned for that brewery showcase episode, because it'll be some good beers and it'll be a lot of good talk, because it was a blast.
It was a great time.
A blast. So I'm interested in getting into beer number two.
Yeah, I'm going to pop it open.
Now, while Rebecca opens that up, this was a, you can go ahead. This was a brewery that I didn't know prior to getting out to Oregon, that it was in Oregon. Emily, Rebecca's sister, just said at one point, oh, are you familiar with Degarde Brewing? And I was like, oh yeah, I've heard about Degarde. I've heard a lot of good things. And I was like, are they in Oregon? She's like, oh, yeah, they're in Oregon. They're in Tillamook. And we happened to be...
We drove right through there.
Yes, we happened to be driving through Tillamook. The only issue turned out to be that, first of all, I wasn't able to coordinate ahead of time because I didn't know. And second of all, their hours that day and when we would be passing through, they weren't going to be open. So kind of sucks. I wish I would have known ahead of time and then I would have reached out to them and tried to set something up. But... we were able to find two of their beers at a liquor store, so one of those beers we're trying tonight, and what is that?
I'm not very good at pronouncing things.
Bu Weiss. B-U Weiss.
It's a Berliner Weiss.
One of Rebecca's favorite styles.
I do love a good... That's all it says on here.
There's not a ABV somewhere. I feel like
it's got... I don't see it.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, it doesn't have an ABV. Typically, Berliner Weisses are on the low side, between 4% and 5% alcohol, so should be relatively low.
You left out why we were on such a tight time schedule, because we were driving down the coast, and we were trying to get to the aquarium in enough time to see the otters get fed.
And guess what? We saw those otters made get it. Fed. And anyone out there who doesn't know, otters are extremely cute. And watching them get fed is even more cute and
it was
very fascinating.
It.
So
we didn't even stop to eat lunch. I found a place on my phone. We called in an order. I couldn't even get their menu on my phone. I just had them. They probably hated me. I called and I said, I want to order for pickup. They said, what do you want? I said, I don't know your menu. So I made him read me the menu. The whole thing.
And then they spit in all our food, I'm sure. No.
I just had to read a couple things anyway.
But put some cubes in the food, too.
And the Oregon coast is absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I wish I could have been sipping a beer while we were driving, but
like
that's illegal, so we don't do that.
Yeah. Carlin's big thing was the beer, but the coast was just...
Oh, I was focused on beer. And we'll tell you a little bit about the craziness involved with that later. So this beer, very yellow, little pale whitish yellow, kind of hazy.
Yeah.
Very much hazy. Smells tart.
It looks like a lemonade.
And it's got a lemony smell to it, like very tart lemon fruit. And there's a bit of a salinity.
I was just gonna say, so you always take the words out of my mouth. Like I feel like I'll
let you take the lead.
I was just gonna say it's that like my mouth is like salivating smelling this because I get that sweet, the salty.
Well, it makes me smelling it makes my tongue anticipate the tartness, which makes it salivate.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much with like any tart type of food. There's a tad bit of a kind of nail polish remover smell on the very end of it. But when I say a tad bit, I mean a tad bit. It is very, very small. You need to really be picking that smell apart.
To me, one of my favorite beers right now is very local to us, Old Pro. It's a Goza, and it smells like that.
Yeah, it does smell a little bit like that Goza. But there's more of a salinity on the nose of that Old Pro. So Rebecca, you took your first sip. What do you think?
It's tarter than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Berliner Weisses I've had have really ranged. Like, I've had Berliner Weisses that are the slightest amount of tartness, and now this one's probably on the opposite side of the spectrum for me. Probably one of the most tart Berliner Weisses I've ever had.
It's, like, super tart.
It hits you with, like, lemon.
Yeah, it's, like, it... No, yeah, I don't... I have, like, mixed emotions. It's, like, I feel like I'm getting, like, punched in the face. Like, sour, and then carbonation that runs across my tongue.
It actually, to me, tastes kind of similar to that Old Pro Goza you were talking about by Union, but without the salinity on the finish, without the salty finish.
I was just going to say, I'm not getting a lot of the salt characteristics.
Mm-hmm. It's like a light wheat-style body to the beer with that kind of wheatish finish on it. But the beginning is just like this real quick kick of like lemon tartness. And then it kind of like dies down a little bit. I like it. It's nice.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It's funny though, because if you gave this to somebody and said it was a Goza, they would believe you at first until they started really paying attention and realizing that saltiness is not there on the end.
Yeah.
But that tart snap is very much like a lot of Gozas I've had. This is a good beer.
Yeah.
My first Degard beer, and Degard, good job.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So what else did we do? What else?
Well, we bought a lot of beer. I kept trying to have to like...
Well, we actually went to a place, I think it was called John's Market.
In Portland,
and they had a ridiculous beer selection. And it was crazy. Like, it was tough for me because... Everywhere I looked, I saw beer that I've never seen before. Because there are a lot of like more local breweries in Oregon, especially compared to a place like where we live in Maryland. I mean, Maryland has a decent amount of breweries, but Oregon, it's like so many more. Mm-hmm. So you go into a liquor store in Oregon, and you're just inundated with all this really hyper local stuff that, you know, if you're not from that state, you've never seen it. So it was hard for me to pick some things out.
Very, very hard. We were there like forever.
We were there maybe 45 minutes.
I don't know, but it was a small place.
Yeah, there was just a lot of beer packed into it.
But there was just, everything was nothing. So Carlin, he just got like a basket. It was like filled with beer, like bombers. And
I found Crooked Stave out there. I had to jump on that because we don't get Crooked Stave out this way. And they are out of Colorado, I'm aware. I wanted to get as many Oregon things as I could, but I was like, I can't pass up on Crooked Stave. I can't get it.
I was like, you can't stock up on this many beers on our first...
I know.
Stop.
Well, and in all fairness, what happened is I put so many beers in the basket, and then I started rethinking about it, and I took a bunch out and put them back on the shelf to, like, whittle it down to what I felt like I needed to have, so.
But I should have said I needed Tough Love.
Yeah, you should have. We really should have brought another one back. We got a hookup out there. Don't worry about it. We got a hookup.
I'll have to tell her I need one for Christmas. Yeah.
As far as other places like that go, there was a place we stopped into called Suds and Suds.
Right. It's just one Suds now, though.
Oh, it's just one Suds now. Okay, it used to be Suds and Suds. Because they had a laundromat. Attached. And it was a bar. So, I don't know. Interesting. Oregon's that way. It's kind of quirky.
Yeah.
And we stopped in there because Emily had informed me, hey, I was there not long ago and they had Pliny the Elder on tap. And I'm like, well, I mean, being from the East Coast, I have to have Pliny the Elder on tap if it's an option. So we stopped in and I had some Pliny on tap and it was very tasty, as you would assume, anyone who's had Pliny. Oh, Rebecca's going back for some more of this Berliner Weiss, this Boo Weiss.
My glass was empty.
So you like this beer?
I think it's good. Yeah. And there was a pinball machine there at Suds.
Oh, yeah, there was a pinball machine. It was a Star Trek pinball. New Star Trek, not old, like new movies. So that was cool. And then there was another place that we went to for some beer. It was Bitter Monk. It was a bar, and they had a bunch of tasters there. And they actually had something that I really like to see in bars, which is a digital screen showing you all the beers that are on tap. But it also shows you, you know, the pertinent information, like what type of glass it should be served in, what the alcohol by volume is. It also has shows you a level of the keg.
Yeah.
So if you see something and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should get that. If you see that it's really low and it's in the red, oh, I better get that right now because it's low and might kick if some other people come in and want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was great. So one of the great things I tried there was Alpine Beer Company's Hoppy Birthday. And that was just a nice beer, as Alpine does. Alpine makes very good stuff. And we had also bought a Cascade beer there that I did not bring home with me. Well, I mean, we brought home, but I mean, we did not keep. That was a gift for Kyle Norman and Kelly Norman, longtime listeners of the podcast and family, who were having an anniversary recently. So they had requested that if I found a really good sour beer out that way to bring it home to them if possible. So I brought them the Black Cap Raspberry Sour by Cascade, which is excellent.
Very tasty.
So yeah. So we did that. Suds and Suds, Bitter Monk, all really, really cool places. We also went to Block 15, which is in Corvallis.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have to say here, a little bit peeved, I sent correspondence to Block 15 ahead of time to kind of say, hey, you know, I'm coming out that way. I want to see if I can get, like, a tour or just talk to someone there who's in the know. And they never responded. So, I thought that was rude.
But, in their defense, they were opening their new brewery that Monday.
Yeah, but you can respond, is my point.
Yeah.
Because, right. I mean, Crux responded, Boneyard responded, and there's another brewery we'll talk about in a little bit who responded, but we weren't able to match our schedule up with.
Well, the other thing that was going on when we were there was the big brew fest in Oregon.
Yeah, there was a
big brew fest. In Portland, I mean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, like I said, in my opinion, there's no excuse to not respond. You know what I mean? Just send a quick email saying, you know what, we're really too busy right now, sorry.
Yeah.
That's it. And I have no problem with that. Because I've had breweries, you know, respond to me before and just say, you know, if I'm looking for a tour or whatever, and just say, hey, you know, we're just not able to. I respect that. That's cool. But respond to me, you know? And if they would have responded to me after the fact, after we were out there.
Oh, that's true.
I've never heard from them. So, Block 15, you kind of dropped down on my list because of that. That's kind of crappy of you. But we did stop in while we were there, and the pickings were slim from their list. It really was.
Because we were there on a Saturday or Sunday, and that Monday they were going to be expanding to another facility. I couldn't quite figure out. It was a new tasting room or something. Mm-hmm. So my sister was upset. She's like, they normally have such great beers.
Right, which I trust. I'm sure that is the case. I will say, though, I had one beer I was very impressed with when we were there, It was their Matchmaker, which was a sour farmhouse ale. It was really good. Like, really well put together.
Well, the first night we were there, Emily and Allie pulled out a beer from them, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a bourbon barrel-aged Creek, and that was really friggin' good.
Yeah.
Like, really friggin' good.
So they were kind of like, you have to come out in February, because this is when they have all their really, really good beers in February.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Block 15 has really good beer. They have really good beer. Don't let the issue that I had with a non-response from whoever their PR person is, you know, jade you about who they are as a brewery. They make very good beers. And if you can get a hold of them, mm-hmm. I would recommend that. I've had, like, their Sticky Hands Imperial IPAs. Those are outstanding Imperial IPAs. Actually, one of them was my 1,000th beer I'd ever tried. So good, so memorable. And I actually have one of their Super Nebula, which is a bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout that's waiting in the basement for the right time to be opened, which is not on this. But it could have been. I just decided not to go that route.
Mm.
Anyway, but...
Carlin has lots of beers he forgets about in the basement.
Which has been cool for, like, accidental aging when it's appropriate.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to accidentally age a hoppy beer, but...
Which you've done.
Yeah, that's happened. But I've gotten a lot better
about
that.
You have gotten better.
But it's pretty awesome to accidentally age an Imperial Stout,
yeah.
or a strong ale, or a barley wine,
yeah, true,
you know,
true.
Stuff like that.
True.
So, but anyway, yeah, so Block 15, that Matchmaker was really good.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I probably didn't enjoy Block 15 as much as I should have, because I was kind of like beared out by that time in the day.
Yeah, that has a tendency to happen when you go and you're just going... Tasting.
It
can be a little much, but
kind of like with the. I didn't get wined out though, because we did do a day of wine tasting. I didn't have that same effect with the wine, but
yeah.
Okay, should I open the last one? Or?
Yeah, you should open that last beer. So, the last brewery that we'll talk about, which was actually the first brewery we went to. Yeah, we went out of order. The first brewery we went to, and I contacted them, and they tried to help set something up, but they were really busy, so they were like, it's kind of limited, and we weren't going to be in Portland all that long, so...
Oh!
It's Cascade. Cascade Brewing, who we talked about briefly with the Black Cap Raspberry, which, when we were there, we tried the Black Cap Raspberry.
So good.
Unreal. I'm going to be honest, pretty much all their beers, unreal. Like, I had such a good time with Cascade. And that was the first place we went as soon as we got off the plane, basically, was just stopping in a Cascade. I think we ate a little bit of food. They had some nice kind of like small appetizer type things that we had.
We had their hummus, right?
Yeah, their hummus was nice. It was a good plate, some pita and some vegetables and whatnot. I do have to give a little shout out to Chris from Cascade. Thank you, Chris, because he tried to help set something up. It's just the times were limited, and we were very limited on when we were going to be there. So it just didn't work out, but nonetheless, we stopped in, and man, their beers were great. The only beer that I wasn't huge on of theirs was one on cask, and it was their Key Lime Pie one, which was probably just because I'm very particular about my level of spices in beer, and it was just a little too much for me personally. How did you feel about the Key Lime Pie?
I agree. It wasn't my favorite.
Spicy.
I probably liked it more than you did.
Probably, yeah.
We should have tried that blend, because I was looking back at some of the pictures, and they were blending that with their strawberry.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the strawberry, Emily had kind of said, like, I wouldn't recommend tasting the strawberry necessarily. She's like, all the beers are good. All the beers are really good. It's just, that one's not, like, going to wow you. Which, I will, though, say, I did get a taste of it. And I started sipping it. I'm like, yeah, I see what you're saying. But then as I kept sipping it,
I liked it.
I was like, I started liking it even more and even more. And I really want that again, because
I thought that was one of my favorites, actually.
It was very good. It has a really nice strawberry flavor. There's a bit of a sweetness to it. And it's done with vanilla, too. And as you keep sipping it, the vanilla starts to grow in strength. And it's so good.
Yeah.
It's almost like... The vanilla with it almost makes it like strawberries and cream type deal.
And they had apples and cinnamon?
Yeah, they had
okay.
Apple crisp, apple I think crisp. Is what it was called. Yeah, it was like a cinnamon apple one. That was good.
I liked... What did I had their stout.
Yes, black and white coffee stout.
Yeah.
It was a coffee stout, but it was blonde in color. And it was really, really good. Because, yes, Cascade does do non-sours as well.
Yeah.
They mainly are known for sours, and they mainly do sours, but they do non-sour beers, too.
So anytime I see a coffee stout, I always have to try it. And was very, very good.
Yeah, it was awesome. All the beers were good. I think my favorites were their Black Cap Raspberry and their Sang Rouge, which I don't even remember what was in the Sang Rouge, but it was really good. And that strawberry was up there. Good. And that black and white coffee stout. So this is a problem. I was just like, I like it all.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I kind of wanted to try more, but at the same time, that was the day we were driving straight to the coast.
Yeah.
Up to Cannon Beach.
To see Haystack Rock.
And,
from the Goonies.
From the Goonies.
Goonies.
And I was like, okay, let's get to going. We got to keep moving.
Yeah.
So it was hard.
I do have to say, though, when we walked into Cascade, you immediately smelled the sour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it smelled so sour.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
You're like, this is where sour beer is made. Definitely where it's made.
Yeah. Okay, so here
awesome
we are.
Awesome Cascade. Let's go ahead and try it. What are we trying here?
So we have the apricot. It is aged in oak barrels. And it's 2014, and it is 7.6%.
So basically how they do the apricot, it's like sour blonde, a mix of a bunch of different sour blondes they do in barrels with actual apricots, and some of the barrels are aged up to 15 months in the oak with the apricots. So smelling it, it's got a real funk to it.
Yeah.
Very, very woody, oaky.
It makes me make a stinky face.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, your first reaction when you smell it is that stinks. That smells.
It's like skunky.
But when you keep smelling it.
I get the fruit, for sure.
You get the apricot. You get a little bit of a sweetness in there.
I was just going to say that. I swear, every time I'm just about ready to say something, Carlin says it right before I get it out. The sour... Yeah. No, I'm not going to say anything else other than the sour notes is exactly what the tasting room smelled like.
Yeah.
You know, actually, like, it's like, it. That is...
Yeah, you're totally right. That is what it's
exactly
smelled.
What it smelled like.
So anybody wants to know what it's like to be at Cascade, get yourself a bottle of the apricot and just keep smelling it. You can pretend you're there.
I'm sure a lot of them smell like that, but
oh yeah,
it's like the sour and the oakiness.
Yeah, it's a very distinct smell when those two things come together.
It's a little musty.
It's funky. Yeah. It's musty. It's funky. It's
okay.
I'm roasty.
I'm going in.
Go, you know, go ahead, go at it. This is the one that she said she wasn't so interested in because she feels like it's going to be probably too sour.
I'm just not big into sours. I feel like it's ripping my tongue off.
Ooh. So, this is interesting. As I'm tasting it, I'm definitely tasting a lot of the apricot. In fact, I feel like, you know how apricots have, like, the small, like, the really small hairs on the outside of them? Like peaches do as well. I feel like I can kind of feel that on my tongue. The texture and the flavor.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like eating some apricots and you're getting a little bit of that of the flesh on your tongue, so it's a little hairy.
I'm not good to be tasting this with you because I'm
very apricotty.
I'm just making a lot of faces.
Well, it's interesting because as soon as I take a sip of it, I get the apricot flavor, but I don't get sourness. The sourness then starts to build after you get that sweet apricot flavor. And it does. I saw you touching your jaw. Yeah, when you get, like, the tingle on the sides of your jaw from sourness.
Like, the sides of your tongue. And then, like, my eyes. I feel like my eyes are twitching.
It's good. Here's the thing, though. It's like a roller coaster of sour.
Yeah.
It starts low, goes up, peaks, then comes right back down. And I feel like it finishes with, like, a nice oakiness with a little bit of that sweet apricot. It's a ride, but it's a nice ride.
I'm getting off this roller coaster.
This is a nice beer. Man, that is so interesting how it just like, it makes that arc.
Yeah.
It's like sweet, sour, coming down, sweet again. And oaky.
I'm not experiencing that as quite as much as you are.
It's super tart at a certain point. A lot of apricot flavor. And then you're getting that nice roasty oaky flavor as well. And that's pretty much all that's in there. But it's nice. I like it. It's tasty. This is going to be really hard for me to make a decision on what beers I like the most.
Not hard for me.
I like it because here's the thing. I like them all. I think they're great. But before that, I think we do need to talk about the debacle that was trying to get beer home.
Go ahead. I don't even want to talk about it.
So, if anybody wants to know, yes, you can check a box of beer and or wine if you're flying home from a place like Oregon. I know we did it with wine when we were on our honeymoon in California as well. So we flew Southwest, and we were going to check a box, which just getting our original box packed was a debacle in itself. It really was. just trying to find the right size, and, you know, it was a mess, trust me. So we get it there, and I thought I had packed it well enough, and they have to ask you, you know, what's in it, and I was like, you know, beer and wine. They're like, well, we need to open it up to make sure that it's properly packaged. And I was like, okay. Which I was fine with because I thought, I did a good job. I really packed stuff in there. I had brought bubble wrap with me, wrapped them all up, shoved extra bubble wrap in all over the place, put cardboard on the tops and the bottoms and around the sides to, like, pad it extra. It was well done. But then they said, no, we can't let it go like this. I was like, what? Because apparently you have to have, each bottle has to be in an individual baggie, and then each bottle has to be severely wrapped in bubble wrap or be in one of the special, like, super sleeves that they make. That,
yeah, with, like, air pockets.
Yeah. So, long story short, they were basically like, you can get someone else to ship this to you, which we were like, we can't at this point. It's, you know, too close to our flight. Or you can pay a bunch of extra money for these sleeves that we have, and we can repackage this for you and put it on the plane. And we were like, well, kind of don't have an option.
Yeah. So,
but I will say the woman from Southwest.
She was so nice.
She was so nice. She was very accommodating. I really appreciate it. Southwest, you did us right on that.
She was like, I'm so sorry. Her name was Marianne.
I'm glad you remembered. Marianne works at Southwest in the Oregon and Portland Airport. You rock.
We got a survey, and I mentioned her by name because she was, I mean, if someone came to my baggage check and was, we were like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, kind of, essentially.
Yeah. But I'm sure she sees a lot of people,
I know,
like that.
She was, I mean, she was like, it's really expensive. It's $5 per thing. We can try to get two bottles in each. This is after we had already, like, put some in our checked bags, like, wrapped in clothes.
And she was accommodating. She actually, in a few of them, like, was able to shove, like, a 22 and a 12-ounce.
Yeah.
And, which, I'm not sure.
I don't know if she should have, but,
yeah, but
I don't know.
She did it for us, and that was nice. That was really nice.
I'm sure people do it. As long as, well, some other guy was helping her too, and he's like, as long as you can get the air package thing closed around it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, she was so nice. So $50 later.
So everybody who wants to do that with beer to check it, you can do it. Just heed this warning. Know what you have to do in order to get it on.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. All right. Well, I mean, that was pretty much our trip. We brought a bunch of beers back, and I will say that two of the beers that we tried here, the Crux beer, the Half Hitch, and the Bouvice by Degard, we actually bought while we were out there. The Apricot by Cascade, we did not buy where we were out there. I already had that one. Like I said, the only Cascade we brought back was that Black Cap Raspberry for Kelly and Kyle Norman. So I hope they enjoy that, or if they've already had it, enjoyed it. I'm going back and retrying this Half Hitch because I need to make sure that I'm going to rank these properly. You know,
maybe I need to do that. Let me have a little sip.
You may have a little sip. That was good. It's all good. I like all of this stuff. So,
okay I'll go
Rebecca.
First.
Yeah, you can go first. I pretty much guarantee it's in the way we tasted them, right?
No.
Really? Okay, go.
I think I'm going to say the Degard, then the Half Hitch, and then the Cascade.
Okay. All right. I'm actually going to go the Cascade, the Apricot.
Really?
Yes. Then the Half Hitch, very close second, and then the Degard's Bouvice.
Interesting.
But here's the thing. I want all these beers again.
Okay, well, good.
Like, they're all really good.
Because we got to drink them all, but I don't think I'm going to be much help with this Cascade.
Okay, so maybe you need to double up on the Buvice. You go harder on the Buvice, I'll go harder on the apricot. Yeah. Deal?
We'll make it work.
Yeah, we will. So yeah, that was it. I would recommend, if people can get out to Oregon, get out to Oregon. The beer scene is awesome. Also the coffee scene. Oh my gosh, if you like coffee, their coffee is ridiculous. Rebecca will tell you I was depressed to come back to Maryland. Because we don't have any, well, we have some small roasters, but we haven't found any that we really like all that much. And pretty much all the small roasters out in Oregon are awesome.
Yep.
Making great coffee beans. So coffee, beer, wine, they have great Pinot Noirs out there. So coffee, beer, wine, what more could you want for a vacation?
It was great.
Everybody go and check out Oregon. Rebecca, do you want to go back?
I already am planning our next trip back.
I know. You really want to go. If we go back, we should try stopping to some other breweries.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and revisit some of these guys, you know, obviously. So anyway, thank you everyone for checking it out. But actually, just something of interest. If anybody out there wants to send an email in and let us know about any vacations or trips you went on recently that were craft beer centric, and give us some information, you know, like, what did you have? Where did you go? What was awesome? What wasn't so great? Go ahead and send us an email at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. And while we're on this topic, check out the website, brutalbattle.com. Check out all our episodes on iTunes. We also have archived episodes on archive.org if you just search Brutal Battle. I have small 5-minute or less videos on YouTube called Brutal Battle Beer Break that you can search and watch. We're on Twitter, at Brutal Battle, and also Facebook. You can search Brutal Battle on Facebook. And then Rebecca and I are also on Untappd.
Mm-hmm.
So you can search for Carlin, and you can search for Rebecca. I think she's on as Rebecca C.
Rebecca C.
Rebecca C. And I'm either Carlton Malibu or Carlin, or Carlin Cook. I'm sorry. I don't know. I probably should know what it is. But at any rate, check out all those things. Please send us emails. Also, if you have ideas on types of episodes you want to see, beers you want to see on the show or here, go ahead and send that. brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for checking this out. Go buy your tickets to fly to Oregon.
Yeah, do it.
And once again, stay tuned for the next brewery showcase episode where Ninkasi will be featured. And I promise you, it'll be awesome.
Sure will.
Thank you so much, and
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.